Welcome to day 311 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. We are reading from the New American Standard Bible this week. Yesterday we heard from Mark chapter 13, and we will hear today a similar report from a different apostle writing an account of when Jesus talked about the end times and gave very specific signs of the end of the age and the return of Christ to the earth. So listen carefully as we go through Matthew chapter 24, and I'm sure you'll note the similarities between today's account and yesterday's reading from the book of Mark. And also pay attention to the very end where there's a very strong, urgent message about keeping alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. So beginning today at Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 1. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or, 'Behold, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, "My master's not coming for a long time," and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In yesterday's reading, we heard very similar statements that the writer of the Gospel of Mark recorded that are also recorded here in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus is talking about the end times and the signs of the end of the age and of the return of Christ to the earth. Jesus warned here in Matthew 24 that people needed to be careful and watchful that no one mislead them, that many Christ people, false Christ, would come claiming that they are the Christ and would actually be effective in misleading many people, and that that would be a sign of the end of the age, that things are getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. And as we said yesterday, we have seen over the centuries and even in this last century, more and more people proclaiming themselves to be Christ, to be Jesus and reincarnated or whatever. And so we know that these are signs that we are marching toward the end of the age, closer and closer to the time that Christ will return. But Jesus also gave some other important signs that one must pay attention to, that we would hear about wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against one another, famines and earthquakes in various places. But those would only be very early signs of the end times. In other words, it wouldn't be a sign of imminent return of Christ. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs, Jesus said. One particular sign that I want to bring to your attention today that wasn't mentioned in yesterday's reading is Matthew 24, verse 12, where it says, "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." Now, Jesus is talking here about an increase in lawlessness or anarchy, essentially, that's going to take place during the tribulation period, the time when things are getting more and more intense, where in verse 9 it says they'll deliver you to tribulation, kill you, you'll be hated by all nations, many will fall away, many people will betray one another and hate one another. We heard in yesterday's account in Mark 13 that family members would betray one another to, whether it's government officials or people who are seeking out Christians to kill, that father would give away or betray a son, and children would betray their parents for their Christian faith, and that it would become such a time of literal terror in the earth where the complete and destruction of the nuclear family will be happening. I mean, it's going to be a time of horrible tribulation. But added here is this statement in Matthew 24, 12 that says, "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." Now, I want to talk about that because it's a definite sign of the nearing of the end of the world or the end of the age and the nearing of Christ's return. I want you to imagine a situation in the earth where lawlessness, total anarchy, has increased to the point that law enforcement personnel have completely disappeared from all view. And that happens when fear has risen to such a level that people are afraid even to perhaps execute the law, that a police officer would be afraid to try to arrest anyone because lawlessness has increased to such a level that they would kill a police officer as soon as look at him. And you're talking about a time when anarchy has risen so to such a high level that there's no longer police, there's no longer a court of law that will take anyone to justice because fear has grown so intensely that anyone who's in those type of positions fears to execute their authority. So we're talking about a time that is so completely chaotic and filled with lawlessness where no one obeys or considers or has any fear of the law whatsoever. Imagine just the little glimpse that we have seen of it in our generation when, for example, a major disaster or a major natural disaster has occurred, such as a big earthquake or like we saw in Haiti, for example, or a huge hurricane that has destroyed a great area. And we saw this happen with Hurricane Katrina in the Louisiana area. And what happened in those situations? There was not law enforcement available to police or govern those areas. So the rule of law was completely cast off. People cast off all restraint, and what they would not have done the day before, they began to do, such as break through the windows of stores and begin to loot the stores. Why would they do that? Yesterday they would not have, because they feared the law enforcement officers who would come and arrest them. But on a day when they feel like there's no law, there's no law enforcement, there's no one around to restrain their behavior, they pursue a completely lawless attitude because they figure they have no one to restrain them, and they will break into any building or any store and loot it, taking anything and everything they can put their hands on. That's a very small snapshot of what's going to happen in the end times when lawlessness is increased to the point of people not caring that what they're doing breaks any law. They don't care. They have no concern about the law. They're not worried about any law enforcement being available. And they just do any and every type of thing. They could kill someone in front of others and not even concern themselves that anyone would ever testify against them or any court of law would ever convene to in any way bring justice for that person who was murdered. Because lawlessness will be the prevalent factor that's operational during the tribulation. And verse 12 of Matthew 24 tells us, because lawlessness is increased during these end times, most people's love will grow cold. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, first of all, think about this. The prominent character quality of God is this beautiful attribute of love, where God loves people regardless of what they do, how they act, or how they treat him. He is love personified, and he gives it without expecting anything in return, and he can give it to even the most undeserving of people. That's God's attribute. Now, God intended for human beings who are made in his image to manifest that same attribute of love toward other people. But here we see in Matthew 24:12 that Jesus is telling his disciples that in the end times, one of the major signs of the end of the age will be an increase in lawlessness, complete and total anarchy. And then as a result of that, because people are just totally treating one another with absolute impunity, they don't care about law or whether they break the law, and they will do horrible things to one another. As a result of that, most people's love will grow cold. Now, what does that mean? What will that look like? Well, imagine that word love there from the Greek means affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, or brotherly love. So if brotherly love, affection, goodwill, benevolence toward other people has grown totally cold in someone, it means they have no affection, they have no warmth of feeling toward any other human being, they have no goodwill, they don't have any care or concern about their fellow human beings. Their love has grown cold. So we're talking about people without conscience acting out a coldness of heart toward one another. And if they themselves have been the recipient or the victim of lawlessness, they've watched their own mother be murdered in front of them, or their sibling, or their child, whatever love, affection, goodwill, brotherly love that might have been in them before they saw the results of total anarchy and lawlessness being perpetrated against one another in the society, it will be very easy for people to harden their hearts, to allow coldness of heart to creep in, and unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred to well up inside of them. And they won't even try to fight it off because they feel justified in having those feelings and those thoughts and those actions, because they have been a victim of the lawlessness, anarchy, and complete coldness that will result from these end times. So this is an important aspect or sign that will be demonstrated during the end times, that lawlessness, anarchy, total disregard or impunity for the rule of law will be abounding. And then people will be hurt. People will be victimized. People will be hurt and killed and assaulted and murdered and stolen from and victimized in every possible way without the perpetrators ever being taken to justice, and no sense of conscience being demonstrated whatsoever. So when people experience that type of horror in their lives, it's easy for such a person to harden their heart, become hateful, become bitter, become resentful, become unforgiving, and then retaliate with a coldness of heart in response to being victimized in that way. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. This will be a sign of the end times. God never intends for his people to fall into that trap that many people will fall into during the end times, during the tribulation. God doesn't intend for that to happen to his people. Verse 13 says, but the one who endures, in other words, the one who endures, staying close to God, keeping his heart pure, not falling into this trap of coldness of heart and cold love, that person will be saved or spared or rescued. God wants us to be a light when things get very dark. God wants us to be warm and loving when everyone else is hate-filled. This will be a challenge to anybody who's alive during the tribulation period, for sure. The other major point that I want to make today that's covered in both yesterday's reading of Mark 13 and today's reading of Matthew 24 is the strong and urgent exhortation that Jesus gives to be really careful when people start proclaiming themselves to be Christ or Jesus personified or God returned to the earth. And from our position here at this time and in our generation, it's hard to fathom how anyone could be deceived by that. But Jesus said here in Matthew 24, as he said in Mark 13, false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. So he's saying that there's going to be even believers who end up getting deceived by these false Christs and false prophets. And you might wonder, how could that even be possible? If they're a believer and they read the Bible, how could it be possible? But imagine for a moment living under the extraordinary pressure and horror of the tribulation period that is being described here, and being under that pressure and being a person that's exposed to the fears that are everywhere and the danger that is all around, and someone coming along proclaiming to be Christ, and you're waiting, you're a believer, you believe Jesus is going to return, you believe he's coming back to save his elect, you believe that, it would be very tempting to believe he's come and he's come to rescue you, because the false Christs that come, they're not going to look bad. They're not going to look like bad guys. They're going to look like good guys. They're going to look like an imitation of Jesus, the good, sweet, loving, powerful Jesus. It says they're going to arise and show great signs and wonders. So they're going to be a miracle worker. Imagine. So it would be easy to be deceived if you're longing to see Jesus, longing to have him rescue you, longing for him to intervene in this horror that you're experiencing, and someone comes along who looks like he could possibly be the one. And yet Jesus said, behold, I've told you in advance. If they say to you, he's in the wilderness, don't go out there. He's in the inner room, don't believe him. Here's how Jesus will return. He's saying he's not going to be wandering about on the earth telling people he's here. He's going to come in glory and power in the air, in the sky. Very clearly, Jesus said, this is what it's going to look like. For just as the lightning comes from east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. meaning it's going to be dramatic. It's going to be obvious to everybody on the earth. It says in verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with great power and glory. So it's going to be dramatic. It's going to be obvious to everybody. He's not going to be in some secret room, some secret meeting place, out in the wilderness. It's not going to be like that. So if a false Christ or false prophet who looks very appealing, very wonderful, very full of signs and wonders and miracles, but he's over here calling people to gather together, then that's not Jesus, because Jesus said that's not how he's coming back. He's coming back like lightning coming across the sky. Dramatic, obvious, powerful, intense, and everybody will know Jesus has returned. Everyone, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the whole earth are going to go, oh no. They will. It says they're going to mourn. Why would they mourn? Because they didn't believe that Jesus was coming back. And so they're acting like the devil himself. All this lawlessness is coming out of unbelief that God is real or living or ever returning to the earth. So they're acting out of that. And so when he does appear, they're going to suddenly mourn, because they're going to realize they were wrong and they're about to be judged for their wickedness. So Jesus's return will be dramatic. It will be awesome. It will be beyond belief, but it will be believed by all the tribes of the whole earth, because they'll know God has opened the sky and sent back his Son on the clouds of the sky with great power and great glory. And he'll send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect from the four winds. So every single believer from the ends of the earth, from any and every nation, and from heaven, so those who've already died and gone to heaven, they are also coming, because it says from one end of the sky to the other, or from the heavens, it says in Mark. And so we know that it's going to be the most dramatic and amazing day the earth has ever seen. But we have to be careful to watch and to be alert and to be very careful to pay attention to what the scripture says, so we're not deceived by some very smooth talking person who can do miracles and claims to be Jesus when we're in the middle of great tribulation and sorrow. It'll be tempting to believe he's here to rescue you, but if you place your trust in some false Christ or prophet, you're going to be lost, not saved in the end. So it's important to pay attention to what the Word of God says. Jesus ends this particular chapter by really exhorting us as his people to be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert. Jesus is saying, for this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you don't think he will, when you're not expecting it. Jesus also used the example that in the time of Noah, before the flood came, people were just marrying and giving in marriage, eating, drinking, having a great old time, and suddenly the flood came. So the idea is, or the parallel is, that it will be sudden, it'll be unexpected, and people will be shocked and surprised. But we are his children, those who are believers, will not be surprised. They'll know it's got to be any time now. All these things that Jesus stated have taken place. So when you see those things happening, that the gospel's been preached to the whole earth, that the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, has actually entered into the temple in Jerusalem, and now things are heating up over there to a point that's just beyond what a person could imagine, you know that Jesus is about to return. So don't fear. If you are alive during that season of the earth's history, don't be afraid. In fact, we are told, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Be of good cheer. Jesus is coming back, and that's a joy for those of us who believe. For those who don't, they will mourn, as the scripture says here in Matthew 24. But let's be ready. Let's be vigilant. Let's pay attention to the signs of the times. And they are being printed in the newspapers every single day. There are signs of the end of the age approaching. It's not imminent because we know certain things have not taken place yet, such as the gospel being preached to the whole world, but we're getting closer and closer, and we don't know. No man knows the day or the hour. Jesus said not even the angels know this, but the Father alone. So we have to just be vigilant, be serious, be paying attention, and use our time wisely. Who is the faithful and sensible servant whom his master puts in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Jesus is using that analogy. Blessed is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Let us be that faithful servant that Jesus can trust us to do what he would have us to do during this season before he returns. We are to be salt and light and giving out the bread of the word of God to other people so that they too will come to know the loving God that we serve. God bless you and give you a victorious week.